Hello, good morning. Gorgeous day, man. It's so pretty out there. Yes, I'm Cheryl McLaughlin. This is the Austin Gardener. I'm a landscape designer and builder, and my company is called Kevin Wood Landscapes. And we are so busy. I mean, it's just really getting into such a great time for planting and doing all kind of stuff. So we can talk about whatever y'all want to talk about today. 512-836-0590. That's you can either call or text that number. And we also have the long distance line at 877-590-5525. So again, 512-836-0590 or 877-590-5525. So much we can be doing right now. I don't even know where to start. And golly, things are blooming like crazy. I just am really enjoying it. You know what's really been a standout in my yard this year is Anisacanthus, also known by 100 common names, but, you know, like Texas firecracker bush, Texas hummingbird bush. It has just been fabulous. As has my firecracker fern, my white mist flower is about to bloom. And, you know, of course, the evergreen sumacs bloom this time of year. And just so much wonderful stuff going on out there. So if you have questions about any of that stuff, feel free to call. But I got a funny text already I want to share with you. Cheryl, settle a dispute. Do cenizos bloom after a rain? Or do they foretell rain by blooming before rain? Typically, you know, they've always been called barometer bush by old timers. They start to bloom before a rain, and that will tell you that the rain is, usually it's going to be coming along. But they're opportunistic bloomers as well, so they'll bloom if they get moisture, but a lot of times it's before the rain comes. However, in September, this time of year, they always do a spectacular, kind of like a end of summer bloom, regardless of the weather. So it's hard to know for sure. You know, obviously we're expecting some rain, hopefully. But yeah, that's why they used to call them barometer bush, because they would start blooming and everybody would be like, oh, it's fixing to rain. So, all right, let's go to the phone lines for our first caller. Is it Reg?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey.
My question is, I have some purple sage that froze down last winter, Texas purple sage. Mm-hmm. Will it come back or do I have to cut it down?
Do you have any signs of life in it?
Not yet.
Okay, well, then it's probably gone. They did get really damaged, a lot of them, even though they're native. But they have, in all cases that, like friends and clients that I've seen, they were coming back. So if yours have not shown any signs of life since that freeze, you've probably got to start over.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for calling. Sorry about that. You know, it's just a brutal losses that... we've suffered this year, and I'm telling you, my big red oak, oh my God, it is not looking good. And a lot of the areas that came back and flushed out was green near the top, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, this is good, this is good. Looked up there yesterday, and a whole big old area that had been bright green is just brown. So I'm not optimistic, and I'm really, really disappointed that I may have lost. It'll never be the same again, but it's so big, I hate to lose it. But what's interesting is, without all that deep shade, all the stuff underneath it that's coming up and suddenly, you know, thriving and blooming like crazy that was in too much shade before. So I guess there's always, you know, a bright side to things, if you will. But, all right, 512-836-0590. Another text, I have four large fruit trees in large pots, lime, orange, lemon, and grapefruit. The lemon and orange never bloom. I use MicroLife for fertilizer. Well, there are questions I need to ask you. For instance, Were they started from seed? How old are they? And those are the main questions that I have. Now, grapefruit gets so big and lemon gets so big that they really need either a large pot or to be in the ground in a real protected location. The orange and the lime, depending on what kind they are, should, you know, they should be able to be managed in a pot pretty well. They need to be getting plenty of sun. Are they getting plenty of sun? You don't want to use, you know, synthetic fertilizers. I think MicroLife's probably a really good one. But those are the questions I have. So if you can tell me that, A, where they started from seed, because grapefruit won't set fruit for 10 years if it started from seed. And it takes much longer for fruit trees to produce if they're started from seed. But typically, if you buy a little bitty, you know, like a, say, a lime or an orange or something like that, it'll bloom, it should bloom and produce fruit within 4 to 6 years. Grapefruits just take longer, but they get very big. So if they're not allowed to get big in a pot, then that it's probably going to be really hard for you to get anything, you know, going on with them. So how old are they? Were they started from seed? Are they getting enough sun? And, you know, those would be my main questions. So if you can let me know that, that will help me out. Oh, cool. Yes. I got another pretty text here. It says, "Hey, Cheryl, is this a pokeweed? It gets a lacy flower with berries. Thank you." Yes, it is pokeweed. And I have some in my own yard. That I guess the birds planted it, but it's been coming back. It's a good perennial, and I notice that there's some down the hill from my house, and one of my neighbors has it as well. So, yeah, pokeweed is something our grandmothers knew about. They knew how to prepare it and eat it. But it is really pretty, and the berries are very pretty, too. So, yeah, that's what you got there. It's a pokeweed. All right, all right. Pretty cool. Very cool. Okay, we're getting ready for that first break. If y'all want to get in line on this, calling in at 512-836-0590. We'll be right back. Okay, we are back. And again, I'll invite you to call or text 512-836-0590 in the long distance toll-free line, 877-590-5525. Let's head to Elgin for our next caller. Denise, how you doing?
Hi, doing fine, thank you. I have a small field, wildflower field, that had bluebonnets in it. They came up rather thick. And then I had wine tubs the next year, but they were really tall, and they kept the bluebonnets from coming up. And I was just wondering what kind of wildflowers I should be planting that will grow while the bluebonnets are blooming and then bloom after the bluebonnets are finished, so that I have succession blooms in wildflowers where one doesn't overshadow the other.
Yeah, I'm very surprised to hear that standing wine cup outcompeted bluebonnets, because they typically will coexist fairly well, so I'm not really sure what's going on there. However,
they were about 2 feet tall, and it was really thick. I probably overseeded them.
Ah, okay. Well, I would be looking at things like, you know, anything after bluebonnets will stop blooming, you know, April-ish.
Right.
And that's when you start getting your coreopsis, galardia, or the Indian blankets, then horse mint, then Mexican hat. So all those four particularly, I think, will give you some good, you know, color. And Mexican hats are real aggressive, as you probably know. I mean, they'll seed out like crazy. But I'd probably just go to the Wildflower Center and look for, you know, a mix that is, most of those mixes are formulated for that exact thing, succession blooms.
Okay, because I have used a wildflower mix packet out there before.
Yeah.
And I had a number of things coming up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
and they were competing. Some were tall, some were short, and it didn't give me the look that I was wanting of You've got blue bonnets, and then you've got the coreopsis, and then you might have the Indian paintbrushes and so forth.
Well, I mean, that would be a nice look, but that's not really the nature of a wildflower field. Do you know what I'm saying?
I think
it might be a little bit hard to pull that off, but it's always, and I used to always tell people, get a single packet, because those mixes, a lot of them have so few things of each species in there, you know what I mean? So you're not going to get a real show sometimes with the things that have like 26 different things in them until they've established and reseeded themselves for a few years. Like, you know, Mexican hat will do that, Gloriosa, they all do it. It's just some are more prolific than others. So go with your single species planting idea and just see if that works for you. Now's a really good time to start with wildflowers, everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I appreciate your help. Thank
you
very much.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, let's go to Georgetown. Eileen, how are you? Do I have Eileen? Is that her name? Is she potted up? Eileen, are you there from Georgetown? I'm going to put her back on hold. I may have done something wrong. Let's go to... Oh, Eileen, are you there? No? What's wrong here? William in Blanco, is this you?
It's me.
Hey, thank you. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. First, I wanted to say thank you for taking the time to develop the expertise with gardening and also for the way you do your show,
thank you.
The content and the form. It's just wonderful. Aww. You have created for me a passion that I look forward to having in retirement, which is a big deal for me. So
that is cool. Thank you. Yeah, you know, I had to be inspired as well, and so I'm really glad. I mean, once you get the bug, you got the bug, right?
Yeah, and speaking of bugs, I'm really focusing on pollinators. I have created a butterfly garden in my backyard. It's in the shape of a butterfly with a 60-foot wingspan, and it's just a place of refuge.
Wow.
And it feels so good, I mean, to see the butterflies and the bees and the hummingbirds, just all the wildlife, and to think that I'm being a part of sustaining them. It's
absolutely. That is exactly what I was, focusing on. I just love the idea, and they're all over my yard, too.
Yeah, so cool, huh? Good for the soul.
Yep.
Hey, I had a couple questions for you.
Okay.
I have a patch in the fern. I'm putting some Tohoka daisy seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's recommended to keep them wet, but I'm not sure what that means.
Well, that's a very good question, because I think this is one way that we defeat ourselves when we're planting seeds. When they say to keep something wet, really all they mean is lightly misting the soil, if you will. You know, a very gentle light mist, and the reason that they're asking you to do that is to keep the soil from crusting, which would inhibit the little tender germinating plant from coming through the soil. So all you have to do is just keep it lightly moist. You do not want to soak it.
Okay.
Such a good
question. Awesome. That's really helpful. And when should I expect them to germinate? Will they germinate now and then bloom in the spring?
Yes. They will germinate, probably not right yet, a little later on. Actually, I'm trying to remember if Tohoka, I used to grow them, and I'm trying to remember if they germinate in the spring and so would lay dormant now. With plants, I think it is a spring germinator. I'll have to look that up and get back to you on that. You know, there's only about three things that need to winter over as rosettes: blue bonnets, Indian paintbrush, and I think it's a Drummond's petunia or something like that. Well, what was it? Anyway, most of them, though, if you put out all these wildflower mixes in the fall, they'll just lay there, with those exceptions, they'll just lay there until spring. And so it's perfectly acceptable to plant most of this stuff in the late winter, early spring that doesn't need to overwinter as a rosette.
Okay. Yeah, so, they made it clear I wanted to sow the seed in the fall.
Yeah.
So do I want to water now or in the spring?
Well, I would lightly, first of all, if it's going to germinate in the fall, it will germinate within 2 weeks. If you're not, so mark off your little area where you put your seeds so you can check it, you know, on a regular basis. If it does not germinate in the fall, that means it wants to wait till spring. And that way you can just kind of forget about it at that point.
Awesome. Okay. And my second question was around zinnias. I have lots of zinnias in my butterfly garden. How do I go about harvesting the seeds?
Well, the seeds will turn brown and start to fall off. So when you see them start to turn, you can clip the whole seed head off and put it in a paper bag. And that way you can kind of shake them out. So you really have to just watch them as they get ready to start dropping seed on their own. That's when you can get in there and really collect it.
Okay. And are the seeds under where the petals are now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Cheryl. Hope you have a great weekend.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. Bye-bye. Excuse me. All right, I'll do some texts now. We got a lot of texts, but you were just talking about lemons. What's a good source to get those in North or Northwest Austin? And when you say protected, what does that mean? Well, a good source would be pretty much any nursery. You can probably even get them at a big box store if they still have them. Northwest Austin, there's like Leaf Nursery on Old Jollyville Road or Pond Springs Road. There's also that big old Moon Valley Nursery, but you're not going to get any bargains there. But I think they do carry citrus. You could certainly go to Hill Country Water Gardens, that nursery on Shoal Creek. So those would be some sources. When I say protected, this is like if you're going to put it in the ground, what you want to do is put it like on the south side of the house where it's not going to be subjected to the full brunt of a winter storm and winter winds, the north wind. So if you have a little L-shaped, you know, protected area in the back south side of your house, that's where you could probably have really good luck with the lemon. You know, this year was you know, just an anomaly, but it was brutal on our citrus plants. So that would have been, you know, maybe a little bit of a setback for you. Okay, we are back, and we got a lot of texts to get through here, so I'm going to go back to the one where they were saying that they had four large fruit trees, lime, orange, lemon, and grapefruit. The lemon and orange never bloom. I use MicroLife. And then they go on to write again, none were started from seed. They get full sun. The lemon will bloom when I put it in the garage for the winter, and I have grapefruit and limes on the trees. Okay, so I don't know if y'all remember when we used to have an advertiser called Espoma. They are not an advertiser any longer, but they have a really good line of organic fertilizers, and one of the ones is called Citrus Tone, T-O-N-E. I think maybe what I would do is get me some of that and put that on your trees, because they really do like that stuff. I use it on my daughter's grapefruit tree with very good success. So maybe that's all we're lacking is just some specific citrus type fertilizer. And it sounds to me like you're doing everything else right. You don't say how old they are, but it sounds like you know what you're doing. So you know they're probably old enough they should be producing. Okay, here's a photo somebody just sent me. Good morning, Cheryl. I'm a newbie vegetable gardener. I planted sweet potatoes somewhat late, and I think they're ready to harvest now. I understand that you should harvest them once the leaves yellow, but not all of the leaves have yellowed. Any advice on when or how to harvest them? You know, I think it's best if you try pulling one up and just seeing what size they are, because I see what you're saying. The leaves are starting to yellow, but they're still green. Maybe a tiny bit early, but one of the only ways to tell is to go ahead and lift one and see if they're in an acceptable size for you and if they've got the right color and everything. My dwarf coreopsis leaves are turning black and crispy. Bug or fungus? Huh. Dwarf coreopsis. It doesn't sound like a bug. Black and crispy. It must be some kind of a fungus, unless somebody accidentally put some, herbicide on it or something. I mean, that's what it sounds like. If you can rub the black off, it's likely a mildew of some kind, in which case you might be able to spray it with seaweed and help get rid of that, or even a little milk. But crispy, black and crispy, that doesn't sound right. I'm not really sure what's going on there. Maybe you need to take a good photo of it or take some leaves and go to a nursery that you trust and see if they can help you figure that out, or send a picture to the Master Gardeners. You can always find them on the AgriLife count, of your county, A-G-R-I Life, like whatever county you're in. And the Master Gardeners will always answer questions for you. Here's another one. I want to create a colorful bed. I would like mostly evergreens and flowers would be great. Something that will provide color year-round. Well, that's kind of hard to do with flowers. We've got a lot of blooming perennials, and I would go straight for Salvia greggii if you have good sun, because that blooms longer than any other evergreen flower. It's also called cherry sage or autumn sage. I use at least 22 different salvias in my designs, and they are absolutely wonderful. You can always do an evergreen backbone of something like a shrub, like a dwarf yaupon or something like that. Doesn't necessarily bloom, but it's going to keep it from looking completely bleak in the winter. Go to the website called Grow, G-R-O-W, green.org. And there is such a great selection of plants. Another cool bush that blooms in the winter, well, rosemary will bloom in the winter, as will bush germander. So those are two evergreens that could also provide you with some color that's not hot weather color. There's just so much fun stuff. Then there's things that bloom really early, like May night salvia blooms in the cool times of the year. I can go on and on. All right, let's go to Pflugerville for our next caller. Hello, Dana.
Hello, Cheryl.
Hey, what's up?
I have a fire bush, and I was lucky enough to buy it after the snow did, and it's beautiful. I sent you a picture of it in a text, but I'll go over my text questions now. It's in a container because they drape over, and so it's beautiful. But will I need to continue to put it in larger containers as it grows?
How big is the bush?
I'm going to say it's 2.5 feet high and maybe 2 feet wide.
I think you can keep it at that, because let's say you put that fire bush in the ground, it's probably maxing out at 4 feet by 3 feet, something like that. So if you know, you could get it up into, I don't know what size the pot is, but if you're going to keep it in a container, you have to be able to move it around, right, if you want to bring it in for the winter and stuff?
If that's what I'm supposed to do, then yes.
Yeah.
And this is manageable.
Yeah. So anything is going to be vulnerable in a pot, even a native plant, in the, you know, freezing winter.
Sure.
So if you can bring it in the garage, I mean, it'll go dormant naturally. And that would be a good time to transplant it if you're going to, because that way you could cut it all the way back or cut it back short prior to next spring. Say if you did this in late February next year, if you need to move it up, then you could cut it way back and move it to a larger container, and then it'll come out like gangbusters. But I think you could probably keep it at this size.
Okay. If I bring it, should I cut it back for next year's blooms? I don't see these lasting up.
It'll go dormant naturally. In fact, I would leave it, you know, out and let it do that. Because when we do bring them inside, a lot of times they don't go completely dormant. But I think yours probably will. I mean, they typically go back down to the ground almost in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you can just cut off all the dead stuff and it'll come back from the roots.
Perfect. If I put some fertilizer on my lantana, will I get another bloom out of them?
You should get another fall bloom whether you fertilize them or not. I don't know about fertilizing them later in the fall. You don't need to push them before winter. You know what I mean?
Okay. So, should I trim it back?
You can, yeah.
Okay.
You can trim it.
It's just not blooming, and I wondered what happened.
Well, they love to be sheared or cut a little bit, and that could very well promote another bloom.
Perfect. I thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling KLBJ today. Let's see. Back to the text. Somebody sent me a photograph, and it says, Cheryl, what is the name of this plant, and where might I buy it? Thelma in Elgin, Texas. Thank you. What you have there is a dwarf, probably dwarf, wax myrtle. And they are healthy. They love it over there in Elgin because they're really an East Texas plant. So wax myrtle, I think there's a cool nursery over there somewhere near you called Bloomers, if I'm not mistaken. I bet they would have them. So what you want is dwarf wax myrtle because there's a standard wax myrtle that gets probably 12 feet. But the dwarf will probably max out, and I see you're keeping yours hedged. If you didn't hedge it, it might get 6 feet or something like that. So, but yours sure look good. You're doing something right. Cheryl, any concerns for using cedar chips as mulch under my oak trees? I just chipped the broken branches from our Arctic freeze. No, no problem whatsoever. There have been a lot of studies done. There used to be some misinformation about using fresh cedar for mulch, but they have been disproven in some really interesting studies at A&M, so you don't have to worry about that. Yes, you can use cedar chips as mulch. I applied corn gluten on the lawn last weekend. If I fertilize the lawn, will there be any problems? Thanks, Cheryl. You don't need to fertilize if you've put down corn gluten because it is like a fertilizer. That's one of the cool things about it. So don't bother. Just you got the corn gluten, and I think you've done enough, putting nutrition into the soil. Okay, we have a break to get through, and then we'll be back for the last 15 minutes of the show right after this. Okay, we are back, and I'm going to try to work through some of these texts, but you know, you're certainly welcome to call in at 512-836-0590 or toll-free 877-590-5525. Okay, here's a text. Why is my Texas sage not blooming? In the ground 6 months, use has to grow once a month lightly. Okay, it's probably still just getting established, working on its roots, but first thing I always ask people is, how does the foliage look? Does it look good? Is it healthy looking? Because if it does, that's a good sign and not too much to worry about. The other things to ask yourself, though, are is it getting full sun and are you overwatering it? Because if you overwater a plant, they'll just do foliage and they're not inclined to bloom too much. But a six-month sage probably is just getting busy underground and it'll be fine. But if you feel like you might have been overwatering, I'd back off because that might just encourage more foliage and less blooms. And again, the sun is very important for them. So check those things out and see if any of that does pertain to you and might help you. Good morning, Cheryl. This is Dana. I was lucky enough to find a fire bush after it snowed, and it's absolutely beautiful. Okay, this is not a fire bush. You called in. What you have here is the most spectacularly beautiful firecracker fern I've ever seen. I've got one, too, but mine's in the ground, but it's not nearly as pretty as yours. This is different than fire bush. So I'm sorry, I'm glad I finally clicked on your text because firecracker fern, now they can get very big, but yours, that size container is great. I mean, you might be able to go up one size and still move it around, but dadgum, girl, you're doing something right. That is gorgeous. Yeah, everybody, you should look at firecracker ferns for your yard. I just love mine. I think it's so pretty. And it's just a great texture, too. Very feathery. What is your recommendation for a fringe flower that suffered from the freeze? All the new growth is coming up. I think we had this text before. Yes, we did. Maybe you didn't hear my reply. Those need to be removed, and you need to start over. They just look too pathetic, and I don't think you're ever going to have a good shrub back out of them. So I'm sorry, but I'd get a new bush myself and get those big old dead roots out of there, too. Please warn everyone that pokeweed is poisonous and to research how to prepare before eating. Absolutely right. That was my vague reference to my grandmother telling me, you have to, if you're going to eat pokeweed, you got to follow a series of boiling and then rinsing and getting rid of that water, boiling again. Please do not take my recommendation on how to make it. I've never done it, but I think you need to read up on it if you're thinking about eating it. And it was a popular edible plant. I mean, I think a long time ago, it was one of the greens that our grandmothers, because a girlfriend of mine came over one day, and she looked at that, and she goes, hey, that looks like pokeweed. I said, yes, and she's young. I'm like, how the heck do you know what pokeweed is? And she said, well, my grandmother used to grow it all the time in the garden. So, yeah. I had about 30 oak trees in my Cedar Park yard trimmed last Monday. The company said all cuts would be painted, but there are many, too many to count. 1-inch cuts, a few 2 to 3-inch cuts, and 3 that are 5 inches that were not painted. Are the trees still susceptible to get infected? I would rather not have these workers back to paint it if it's not necessary. How long would it be to know the trees are not infected? This is a very low risk time of year to prune oak trees. It's still very hot. The problems arise in the moderate temperature times of the year, primarily in spring. So as long as they're painted in the spring, a good qualified arborist could, cut them any time of year, really, because they know how to protect it. However, once these cuts are done, within 24 hours, they're starting to heal themselves over, and so there's no point at all in pruning now. So I think you're going to be fine. As far as infected, it would probably be at least next summer before you would know that. Typically, you see the evidence in the summer. The leaves will just start falling off and stuff. So, okay. I'm trying to identify what this volunteer vine was. It was suggested trumpet vine, but it never had any blooms. Well, it does look like a trumpet vine. I don't know why it didn't bloom. It doesn't look like it's in a very... Oh, yeah, there it is going up the house. Yeah, I think it's trumpet vine. I don't know why it didn't bloom, but it sure will. And if I were you, I'd get that vine out from under that fascia up on your house. In fact, I'd probably take it off your house because trumpet vine can get so woody and thick that it absolutely... can damage your home. So I would be absolutely removing that from your house. Looks pretty growing up a side of a house, but the truth is, once it gets up under there, under that fascia board, it can cause some real damage. Okay, and then I got to thank you for the wax myrtle ID photo. Very pretty, very pretty. Let's see. My cosmos are about 8 feet tall in full sun, but no blooms. What's the deal? Cosmos. I'm trying to remember what the deal is with cosmos, like when they're supposed to bloom. Maybe somebody listening knows. I'm drawing a blank. But again, I'll just go back to the sort of the rule of thumb thing, which is, if something is, say it's the time to be blooming, it's got the right sun conditions, either too much nitrogen or too much water can cause plants to just be gorgeous and full and, you know, lots of foliage but no blooms. And I just, for the life of me, cannot remember what time cosmos is supposed to bloom. So, again, if somebody knows and can text me real quick in the next 3 minutes, I can answer your question. But otherwise, I'm drawing a slight blank on that. But anyway, those are just two rules of thumb. Oh, and this is Dana. I heard Cheryl let me know that I have a firecracker fern, and I thank her very much for the information. You are quite welcome. Yeah, we can get confused by the common names of things, but a firecracker fern that you have here is just stunningly beautiful, absolutely gorgeous. So, all right, well, I'm going to encourage everybody to get out there and plant some good butterfly plants for the fall. Again, if you have not added some natives like white mistflower, Greg's mistflower is good too. I've never seen one in the wild, so I don't know exactly where Greg's mist is native to, but it sure is attractive to butterflies. And don't forget burying plants as well for the birds. I've got, gosh, my beauty berries are just gorgeous this year, covered with berries. And if you've never had a possum haw yaupon, this might be the year to add one to your yard, because then you have a great berry tree all winter. It's deciduous, so it loses all its leaves, but it keeps its berries all winter, and they are beautiful. So possum haw yaupon, definitely one of my favorites. Add some evergreen sumac in your yard. Monarchs love those, and of course butterfly weed is great for them as well. So it's a really, really good time to plant. I'm looking at a big tree planting project here, if I can get to it, for the fall, and that is just a wonderful time to plant trees, and really perennials and everything too. So get out there and get plant chopping. It's a gorgeous day to be out there. And again, thank you for all your great texts and questions today. I'm Cheryl McLaughlin. If you need help in your landscape, you can go to our website, kevinwoodlandscapes.com, and contact us that way. See you next Sunday.